Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up." Report by Srila Prabhupada. Any man who has genuine devotion to the Lord has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons or in the demigods. Whereas the non-devotee, however advanced he may be in material qualifications by education and culture, lacks in godly qualities. As such, Arjuna, just after seeing his kinsmen, friends, and relatives on the battlefield, was at once overwhelmed with compassion for them who had decided to fight amongst themselves. As far as the soldiers were concerned, he was sympathetic from the beginning, but he felt compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, foreseeing their imminent death. And so thinking, the limbs of his body began to quiver, and his mouth became dry. He was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Practically the whole community, all blood relatives of Arjuna, had come to fight with him. This overwhelmed a kind devotee like Arjuna. Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. It is said, therefore, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvay gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kutoma hadguna manorathe nashati dhavato bahi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications. Arjuna is here exhibiting the natural quality of a genuine devotee of the Lord. By association with the Supreme Lord, the qualities of God manifest within our hearts. Therefore, Arjuna, being the dear friend of the Lord, in constant association with the Lord, is demonstrating here the most important of all godly qualities, the quality of selfless compassion and forgiveness. It is easy to be kind upon persons who are kind to you, but to show love and kindness to those who have cheated you, to those who have tried to murder you, to those who have come for the specific reason of destroying you and killing you, this is not the quality of an ordinary man. But we find that Arjuna is displaying this quality. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that this is not due to weakness. As a kshatriya, Arjuna was ready, willing, and anxious to fight this war. For a kshatriya, war like this is the most glorious opportunity in a person's life. A war dedicated to religious principles. If you win, you conquer the world. If you die, you attain the heavens. So therefore, from this social point of view, and from his own personal inclinations, this war is the culmination, the high point of his life. But from his natural tendency, not as a kshatriya, but as a Vaishnava, as a devotee, he is willing to put aside his own likes and dislikes, knowing that God's love and God's compassion is most magnanimous and forgiving. And therefore, he could not tolerate the thought, not for himself, but for them. Of course, it is said that good fruits come from good trees. So this quality of Arjuna was also found in a most exalted degree in his own mother, Srimati Kunti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, we read a beautiful story which exhibits this wonderful quality of the Lord's devotees. Here we are reading what is taking place just before the Battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna ultimately was convinced by Krishna to fight after Krishna explained to him that this is the greatest compassion you can offer to your relatives. Do not fight for the kingdom. You must fight for truth. If they are not killed, everyone on the side of Duryodhana will suffer endlessly, hellish conditions, due to the offenses they have committed. But if they die in God's presence on the battlefield, they will all be transported to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So what is a greater act of compassion? And therefore Arjuna was ultimately convinced to fight on the basis of faith and trust in God's compassion. He was not fighting out of revenge. He was fighting out of love. You see, the tendency of all of us is that we become very much influenced by social moral considerations. If you please someone, you are showing love for him. But actual love is to act in such a way for the betterment of that person, even if you utterly displease him. Certainly Duryodhana, his false ego, would be far more pleased if Arjuna would have said, "I will not fight, please take this kingdom, it is all yours." That is what Duryodhana wanted. But by acting in such a way, he would have pleased the ego of Duryodhana. What he was doing is pleasing the very enemy of Duryodhana's own soul, his false ego and his pride. If a person has typhoid, according to the Ayurvedic principle, he is not allowed to eat any solid foods, although the hunger still remains. So if a person says, "Please, I'm hungry, give me food," if you give him food, he will consider you a great friend. But in the process of your friendliness, you will kill that person. Whereas, if you do not give him food, you will become that person's enemy. But you will be the friend for his soul. You will save his life. So Krishna was explaining to Arjuna in this reference that I am very pleased and proud of your selfless compassion for even your enemies who have come to kill you. You only want their good. But I am going to explain this Bhagavad Gita so that you know what is really good of these people. Not by satisfying the illusion of their material sentiments, which will ultimately cause them frustration and suffering, but cure them with truth. The truth is that all living beings are part of Krishna and they are His. If our actions don't help a person come closer to God, then we are that person's enemy, however much they love us and adore us for satisfying their ego and their senses. So the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna convinces Arjuna to fight out of love and compassion, thus promoting these evil-minded persons to the spiritual world. After the battlefield of Kurukshetra and the battle within had come to an end, something very interesting took place. You see, Dronacharya was killed by Dhristadyumna unfairly. He had set down his bow, his arrow, he had taken off his armor. He gave up his Kshatriya tendencies, and like the real Brahmin that he was, he sat in meditation, right on his chariot. At that time, Dhristadyumna ran toward him and severed his head with his sword. When Ashwatthama, the son of Drona, heard this, he was furious. He was outraged. And by all means, he thirsted for revenge. So after Duryodhana was defeated, and his armies were obliterated, they finally accepted defeat at the hands of the Pandavas. Ashwatthama was hiding in the forest with Kripacharya and Kritavarma. The truce was made, and the Pandavas' armies, as few were left, there was only a handful. They were so exhausted from the 18 days of war that they were sleeping in their tents. At that time, Ashwatthama convinced the others that whoever was in those tents must be killed. Krishna, Satyaki, and the five Pandavas had left earlier to go to Hastinapur to announce to their elders that the war had ended. While the remaining soldiers were sound asleep in great exhaustion, these three warriors, headed by Ashwatthama, entered the tents in the middle of the night and slaughtered every one of them while they were asleep. The five sons of Draupadi and the Pandavas were amongst them. Draupadi had five children, one from each of the Pandavas' brothers. So Ashwatthama was very proud of his heinous act, and he decided to take the severed heads of these five young children, they were only teenagers at the time, and bring them to Duryodhana, who was in hiding, suffering due to a broken spine. He said to Duryodhana that, "I have killed the five Pandavas." Duryodhana, he was very happy to hear this. He said, "I have brought their heads." Duryodhana was so much in pain he could not even see, but with his hand he felt the heads, and he felt that they were very soft. He understood that these were not the Pandava brothers. These were the small children of the Pandavas. And even Duryodhana was utterly disgusted. "How could you have killed these children? Get out from my sight. Get away." When the news came back to Arjuna and to Draupadi that their five beloved children had been killed in this cruel and unfair way, Draupadi began to cry and weep like a mother that has lost her only children, all five simultaneously. And of course, the Pandavas were furious, and Krishna told Arjuna that this Ashwatthama must be killed for what he has done. And Arjuna, who had become like fire, he said to Draupadi that, "Draupadi, by the end of the day you will be standing on the head of Ashwatthama, this demon, this rascal, who has killed our helpless children in their sleep." So boarding his chariot, he chased after Ashwatthama. When Ashwatthama saw Krishna driving the chariot with Arjuna, his eyes red like coals with anger, Ashwatthama began to run for his life. He boarded his chariot and went as fast as he could, but he was no match for the chariot driving of Sri Krishna. When his horses got tired and he realized that he was on the verge of death, Ashwatthama, in great fear for his life, not knowing what to do and what not to do. Through the chanting of Vedic mantras, he invoked the powerful Brahmastra weapon, which is the most powerful of all material weapons. First he sipped the water, then he chanted the proper mantra. This weapon is not like the weapons of modern warfare. It has the same basic principle of destruction as the atomic bomb, but it is far more powerful and very accurate. It is operated on a very subtle material level. Only those who have perfected the mystic sciences can invoke such a weapon. It went into the sky, blazing like the sun. And when Arjuna saw it coming directly toward him, he became very bewildered and fearful. It is not surprising. But you see, the quality of a great devotee is not that he is never fearful, is that he knows exactly where to go when fear strikes. Therefore, he was fearless. Abhaya charana ravindare. When we turn to Krishna, we become fearless. And these conditions are only benedictions in disguise to help us turn to Krishna with complete shelter at his lotus feet as our only object of meditation. So Arjuna turned to Lord Sri Krishna. What is this happening? What am I to do? This vehicle of massive destruction is heading for us, and within seconds it will strike. And Krishna explained, this is the deadly Brahmastra. Ashwatthama, he deserves to be punished. Therefore, what do you have to fear? You have the power to counteract it only with another Brahmastra. You see, the fact is, that within our own hearts, the soul itself is in a perfectly transcendental position and has all power to counteract all opposition in our life. But unless we surrender to Krishna, it is not revealed to us our own strength and our own glories. So after being enlightened by Sri Krishna, this great Brahmastra of Arjuna went into the air, and when the two met, it created such heat and light that it was felt throughout the entire universe. And then Ashwatthama, who had been defeated, was seized by Arjuna, and like an animal he was tied with ropes. And Krishna said, he is a murderer, kill him. But Arjuna could understand that what Krishna was doing was testing his Vaishnava qualities. You see, the great souls, they understand the real import of the words and actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that if he wanted to simply give in to his anger, it would have been the easiest thing just to kill this deserving person. But he understood that Krishna had a higher purpose. So he did not kill Ashwatthama. And thereof, he pleased Krishna on a higher level. He brought his enemy to the feet of Draupadi, threw him down to the ground. Draupadi, who was in the process of crying, bereaved by the death of her five only children, when she saw Ashwatthama, she immediately could recognize that he was the son of their teacher, the military guru, and that he was a Brahmin. And therefore Draupadi, to everyone's surprise, with all respect, she offered humble obeisances to Ashwatthama. And then she said, he is a great soul. How could you keep him tied up like an animal? release him immediately. Everything you know about fighting as a Kshatriya, this is your occupation, you learn from his father. And when the father is dead and gone, the father lives through the son. Therefore, it is the duty in all respects to show respect to one's superiors. This is the representative of Drona, our guru. You must release him. And besides this, Draupadi revealed her heart. No one can understand a mother, her grief at the loss of a son. Only a mother herself who has been put in the situation can begin to imagine the sadness. No one else. She explained that I am suffering such a torment within my heart at the loss of my only children. And the wife of Drona, Kripi, the sister of Kripa, her husband is dead. Out of custom, she should have entered into the flames of her burning husband at the time of his funeral. But it is explained that if a son is surviving, the wife is not to enter into the flames of the husband. Because it is said that the husband is living through the son, so she still has her husband. That Kripi, who is a very gentle, noble, and glorious lady by nature, an ocean of good qualities, her husband is dead. And if she suffers the loss of her only son, she will be in the same lamentable position as me. And I cannot tolerate the thought of her having to suffer the pain that I am feeling within my heart. We cannot do that to her. Whatever her son has done, that is another thing. But we cannot inflict this pain in her heart on such a great soul as Kripi, his mother. This is the natural quality of a Vaishnava. Paraduka duki. Or as it is said, the golden rule, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. So she was thinking beyond the offense of Ashwatthama, beyond her natural tendency for revenge. She was only seeing how we can best honor his mother. When Yudhisthira heard these words, he was in complete agreement that yes, what Draupadi is speaking is true, we must release him. Although his own son was also killed. And Nakula, Sahadev, Arjuna, and Krishna, they all unanimously agreed. What Draupadi is saying is full of love, and it is truth. He must be released. But one person did not agree at all, and that was Bhima. Bhima said, he must be killed, this scoundrel, this rascal, what he has done. He must be killed now. And Bhima was about to kill him. It is explained at that time, Arjuna, he did not know what to do. Am I to kill him, please Bhima, and break the heart of Draupadi? Or am I not to kill him and please Draupadi, but completely disappoint and gain the wrath of Bhima? What to do? Because they were both perfectly correct. It is explained in the Shastra that for one who sets your house on fire, steals your property, abducts your wife, or attacks with deadly weapons, such aggressors, you have every right to kill them. And certainly Ashwatthama was an aggressor. But at the same time, a Vaishnava is always very forgiving. So Draupadi was correct and Bhima was correct from different angles of vision. And they completely disagreed. Sometimes people are under the illusion that all great saints agree on everything. But here we find two Nitya Siddha, personal associates of the Lord, in total disagreement, and both are pleasing Krishna perfectly by their opinions. Because you see, even amongst the most exalted devotees, everyone has their natural characteristics. Bhima was a Kshatriya and a warrior. Therefore, his tendency was justice with the sword. But Draupadi was a mother. You cannot expect a mother to have the same characteristics as a warrior, as a motherly person. She was simply thinking in terms of respect to another motherly person. So they were both correct. And Arjuna was in dilemma, what to do? And he approached Krishna as Chaturbhuja, which means one who has four hands. Because at that time, Krishna, who is of two hands, he manifested his forearm form of Narayan. Two hands to pacify Draupadi, and two hands to hold back Bhima. And he told Arjuna that we must satisfy both of them. And he revealed to Arjuna the way how. Because for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So therefore what he did is he cut off the jewel on the head of Ashwatthama and he cut off his hair, which is an act of humiliation. And through that humiliation, Ashwatthama felt the pain of dishonor, which was worse than death. But still, because his body was still existing, his mother did not feel any loss. We find here in this beautiful narration many wonderful examples of the heart of great souls. Draupadi was seeing that Drona, the guru, was living through sun. And in Vedic culture, it is the natural quality to always honor the spiritual master. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the most important principle of human society, to give honor and respect to great souls. Without this, we can develop no good qualities in our life, true good qualities. However expert we may be, however learned we may be, however powerful we may be, if we do not properly give honor and respect to great souls, nothing we do has any significance in the eyes of God. The culture, the spiritual culture of India is based on this principle. Humility before persons who are close to God. And what does humility mean? What does respect really mean? It does not mean superficially just saying namaste. Respect to superior persons means that you know better than me. In Vrindavan, one time Srila Prabhupada was, this was in 1976, he was sitting in his room and one of his disciples approached him. This disciple was personally trained by Srila Prabhupada himself. And under his Gurudev's training he became a very sincere devotee. And his service was to help edit the Sanskrit sections of Prabhupada's books. And in the process, he became very learned in Sanskrit. And thus he began to read so many deeply philosophical books in the Sanskrit language. Of course, Queen Kunti explains that the tendency for one who has high birth, good education, physical beauty, and strength is that person becomes proud. So this person, despite so many warnings by his guru, became very proud. So when he approached Prabhupada, he said, "Gurudev, I want to beg your permission and get your blessings that I may accept another spiritual master who could teach me something higher and greater than you are teaching." So Srila Prabhupada said to him, he explained, that to think you know more than your spiritual master is a great offense. And to reject your spiritual master thinking you know better than him, if he is an authorized spiritual master, Krishna will certainly send you to hell. Srila Prabhupada explained that by material point of view, one may be a better manager than Guru. One may even be a better scholar than Guru. But because Guru knows Krishna, you should never think you know better than him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Godhead. And when he approached his spiritual master, he said, "I'm a fool, I know nothing." One should never reveal himself as being learned before the Guru. Otherwise, you cheat yourself of all possibility of spiritual advancement. When approaching Guru, you must, "I know nothing." Sanatana Goswami also, the most learned scholar in all the world, when he approached his Guru, he said, "I am fool number one. I do not even know who I am. What is the use of all my education? It's all nothing but a burden." So after explaining, Srila Prabhupada said to his disciple, "If you want, I cannot stop you. If you want my blessings, I give you my blessings that you may go to hell." And that person accepted those blessings and accepted his position, going to hell. So we find in great souls like Draupadi, Yudhisthira, how much respect they had for their guru. Because they knew, even though he was acting unfairly, it was all under God's divine arrangement. It was God's test. And Krishna was very satisfied by the compassion, the love, and the forgiveness, and the natural respect of these great personalities. So for one who truly wants to gain the mercy of Krishna, this is the process of learning how to respect great souls and humble oneself before them. Of course, we must understand who great souls are. Ashwatthama was not a great soul. They did not follow him. They did not receive teachings from him. They only showed the compassion out of respect to please those who were dear to the Lord, namely his parents. So similarly, if we have a god brother or god sister that is having difficulty, even if they are fallen and committing the most abominable activities, if they are loved by our spiritual master, we will not follow what they are doing. We will not accept instructions from them. But out of love and mercy, we must show respect and try to help them out of our love for our spiritual master. because it isn't pleasing the spiritual master and it isn't pleasing Krishna that all of our spiritual advancement is made. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kruta. One who pleases Guru pleases Krishna. Without pleasing Guru, one cannot please Krishna. This is the sum and substance of this wonderful verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.